Let's read together Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. Now, in this second section of Galatians chapter 4, we see the Apostle Paul's great concern that the Galatian believers grow in Christ and that they not get sidetracked or ensnared by the false teaching of the Judaizers. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Let's consider a few background notes for this portion of Scripture. Why did the Apostle Paul say to the Galatians in verse 20 that he was perplexed about them or had doubts about them? Answer: it's because the Galatian churches had come under the influence of the false teaching of Judaism, and Paul was concerned that the Galatian Christians were turning away from the pure gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. The false teaching of Judaism put a great emphasis on the works of the law. We've mentioned before that there were both non-Christian Judaizers and Christian Judaizers. The non-Christian Judaizers said that keeping the law was necessary for salvation. Christian Judaizers acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah and Savior, but they said that sanctification, that is, becoming more holy in this Christian life, came by keeping the Mosaic law. The Judaizers were the legalists of the day. Now, both works-oriented salvation and works-oriented sanctification are refuted in the epistle to the Galatians. Works-oriented sanctification is being refuted here in this section of Galatians chapter 4. Notice in verse 12 that the Apostle Paul addresses these Galatians as brethren. They were saved, but they were not growing in Christ because of a wrong view and wrong use of the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. That's why Paul says to these Gentile Galatians in verse 12, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, that is, become free from the law as I am. For I became like you, that is, I became like the Gentiles, no longer living under the law." Of all things, these Gentile Christians were wrongly putting themselves under the Jewish law after they had become Christians. Paul had been under the law before he became a Christian, but then he was free from the law after he became a Christian. The reason for this irony, of course, was because of the false teaching of the Judaizers, who had a wrong view of the purpose of the law. Now, here in this section of Galatians chapter 4, we see the character and tactics of these false teachers. These same character traits and tactics are typical of the false teachers today. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Galatians chapter 4. Doctrinal point number one: false teachers are not concerned about their own integrity. False teachers are not concerned about their own integrity. In verses 12 through 15, Paul reminded the Galatians of the wonderful relationship that they had shared together in the early days of their conversion. When Paul had come to Galatia with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they had received not only the message with joy, but they had received the messenger with joy as well. Apparently, when Paul first visited Galatia, he had been sick with some physical infirmity. What it was, we don't know. But as a result, Paul was anything but an eloquent orator when he preached to the Galatians. But the Galatians did not belittle or look down or despise Paul in any way, but accepted the gospel and received Paul as if he were an angel of God, even as they would have received Christ himself. Look again there at verse 14. And my trial which was in my flesh you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. At that time, the Galatians were so appreciative of the apostle that, if possible, they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to the apostle Paul. Look at verse 15. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. You know, it's because of this verse that some Christians believe that the apostle Paul had a disease of the eyes, and this was his thorn in the flesh that he refers to in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Also in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 6, Paul refers to the large letters he has written with his own hand. Some commentators use this verse in support of the idea that Paul had bad eyesight because of a disease of the eyes. Well, this is only speculation, because there is no conclusive evidence that Paul had a disease of the eyes. We can't be sure. Furthermore, it seems that the expression, "pluck out your eyes for me," may have been a common expression in that day. It meant giving up everything for someone and was not an indication of eye trouble. The expression, "you're twisting my arm today," for example, has nothing to do literally with putting your arm out of joint, right? In any case, there had been a wonderful relationship between the Apostle Paul and the Galatian converts, and they had enjoyed great blessing, as we see there in verse 15. But now something has happened to that great relationship. Verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So what has happened? Where is that joy and blessing that they had in verse 15? Answer, the false teachers have come in and undermined the Apostle Paul's authority and character. They were saying that Paul was wrong about the law, and that Paul had misled them, and that Paul didn't have their best interests in view. They were using the ad hominem approach as well. That is, they were putting Paul down by criticizing his appearance and style of teaching. As a result, the Galatians were treating Paul as an enemy when Paul was telling them the truth. The problem, of course, was that these false teaching Judaizers were lying about Paul. They could care less about their own integrity. You know, the same is true today. When the false teachers can't deny the truth of the message, they attack the messenger. They call the messenger mean-spirited, or narrow-minded, or country bumpkin, or unspiritual. False teachers are not concerned about their own integrity. Doctrine point number two, false teachers are not concerned about the welfare of others. False teachers are not concerned about the welfare of others. Verse 17, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. The false teaching Judaizers were doing whatever they could to alienate the Galatian converts from the influence of the Apostle Paul. They zealously courted the Galatians with flattery in order to gain a following. Not because they were concerned about the spiritual welfare of the Galatians. No way. They were only interested in making their own zealous disciples. The same is true today. Take the cults, for example. They're not really interested in the welfare of the people. No, they are more interested in gaining a following for themselves. And you know, the same is true of Christian legalists today. Those believers that think holiness comes through keeping a bunch of rules and regulations, they are more concerned about rule-keeping than the spiritual welfare of the people. Paul says in verse 18 that there's nothing wrong with being zealous. And he didn't mind others teaching and caring for the Galatians, even when he was not there, but the motive must be pure, and the teaching must be the truth. This was not the case of the false teachers. They were only interested in gaining a following for themselves and their false doctrines. False teachers are not concerned about the welfare of others. Let's move to our practical application for this portion of Galatians chapter 4. Practical application number one. Have you gone into labor lately? Have you gone into labor lately? Now, you're probably saying at this point, what kind of practical application is this anyway? Well, of course, we mean it in a figurative way. Verse 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Paul likened his relationship with the Galatians to a mother with her baby. He went into labor, as it were, at the time of their salvation. Now he was in labor again, in reference to their Christian growth. Paul wanted to see them free from the false teachers and to see Christ formed in them. That is, Christ living in them and through them. As he wrote in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Paul wanted the Galatian converts to grow in grace in this same way. He was so concerned for them that he went into labor for them, figuratively speaking. Now let me ask you, are we as concerned about the new Christians that we know? Or do we just hope they come to church and get their act together somehow by themselves? Or are we concerned, so concerned for their Christian growth, that we go into labor for them, figuratively speaking? Have you gone into labor lately? Practical application number two. Would the Apostle Paul be perplexed about you? Would the Apostle Paul be perplexed about you? Verse 20. I would like to be present with you and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you, or I am perplexed about you. As the Apostle Paul looked at the wavering Galatians, he was perplexed about them. Their susceptibility to the false teaching of the Judaizers raised doubts in his mind about their faith. Remember what he wrote back in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. Paul was genuinely concerned about the faith of the Galatians. Was it rooted in Christ? Had they really become believers? Now, suppose the Apostle Paul looked at your life and lifestyle. Would he have doubts about your commitment to Christ? Would he be perplexed about you? Would he see a lot of rule-keeping and church-going, but not a lot of love and devotion to Christ? Would he see a woeful lack of Bible knowledge, even though you've been a Christian for years? Would the Apostle Paul be perplexed about you?